The second part of this audio recording is talking about some of the educational boards that I have on the stand. My stand isn't just judged on how the flowers look, but it's also judged on educational criteria, something known as the Lindley rules. So without further ado, let's kick on to what some of the boards say. The first one is entitled Photoperiodism and has a picture of a burning sun. The amount of daylight hours within a day impacts how cosmos bipinnatus flower, something called photoperiodism. Cosmos are known as short day flowers, preferring to flower when there are fewer daylight hours than nighttime hours, blooming best with 14 hours of daylight or less. In the UK, that can mean waiting until late July, as gardeners we would prefer flowers earlier in the summer. However, just as they've got going, our temperatures begin to fall, which slows them down. The next board is also entitled Photoperiodism and has a picture of a mass planting of cosmos. The effect of photoperiodism is greatest with young plants. Mature plants should not be impacted as much, so by timing our seed sowing, we can overcome the effect of photoperiodism. Sowing in the spring means plants will still be immature during the long days of early summer and may not produce heavy blooms until the days shorten in late summer. However, an earlier sowing indoors means plants can have a jump start. They will be more mature plants by early summer and will bloom even when the days are still long. The next board is on comfrey feed and has a picture of a handcart full of my comfrey leaves which I've harvested. The production of fertiliser is hugely energy intensive, which is why we strive to grow as much homegrown fertiliser as possible. This includes using comfrey to make a liquid feed, as well as drying it and breaking it down into a comfrey crumb to make a slow release potassium rich feed for our cosmos. The next board focuses on water conservation and has a picture of me standing next to three big water butts. Just as wet winters will become an issue for gardeners, so will dry summers. Several areas of the UK are already in water deficit, with hosepipe bans being implemented during dry spells. It's estimated that the average household uses 3,000 litres of water outside of the garden each year, some of which gets used for gardening. Currently, it's also estimated that only 8% of households have water butts installed. The next board is also entitled Water Conservation and has two IBCs, the intermediate bulk containers that are used to ship various things across the country, but used here for storing water. All our plants have been grown using stored rainwater so that we not require mains water for our growing efforts. Cosmos are fairly drought tolerant and can cope quite well with limited water when grown in the ground. Growing in pots requires water which we deliver by hand so as not to waste any from the 20,000 litres we can store on the plot at any one time. The next board is entitled No Insecticides, and there's a picture of me next to a sign that I've had in the garden that says, if something is not eating your plants, then your garden is not part of the ecosystem. We believe a plant or flower which is called pollinator friendly cannot be described as such if it is sprayed with chemicals which kill those pollinators. This is why we choose not to spray our plants with insecticides and accept that they are part of the ecosystem. The next board is entitled Peat-Free Growing Medium and has a picture of a delivery of fresh peat-free compost. All our plants are grown without the use of peat and have been grown this way for many years. While growing in peat-free compost requires a different watering regime, which for our cosmos means watering less but more often, we believe choosing to grow in a more sustainable way is the right thing to do. The next board is entitled Wood Chip Compost and has a picture of a massive pile of wood chip that is made from homegrown willow. To complement the peat-free compost we use, we make our own out of homegrown willow, which is wood chipped. We even choose to use bark as a top dressing on our pots over alternatives such as gravel, as bark is regenerative and far more sustainable than many of the alternatives. All of the compost and plant material from the show is always reused on our plot. The next board is entitled From Flood to Flowers and has a picture of my plot taken actually by a drone showing that the whole 2 acres was completely underwater. In late October 2023, our plot was hit by the effects of Storm Babbitt. Around 1 million litres of rainwater flowed onto the property from a river that had previously never overtopped. Polytunnels, outbuildings and two national plant collections were hit, calling into our calling into question our ability to have flowers ready for the RHS Chelsea Flower Show. The next board is also entitled From Flood to Flowers and has a picture of my Cosmos planters, were actually dustbins, also engulfed with the river water. Just as Cosmos are drought tolerant, they ended up being more robust than anticipated and continue to flower once the water had receded. The need to ensure we have resilient landscapes in light of climate change has never been more apparent. National plant collections and research into the resilience of specific plants to environmental changes has never been more important. The next board focuses on the Cosmos bipinnatus life cycle, and it is portrayed with four images which range from starting from seed to sowing to small seedlings to more mature plants. Cosmos bipinnatus are one of the easiest plants to grow from seed. They can be sowed under cover or outside after the danger of frost has passed. Cosmos seedlings emerge from the peat-free compost and then the plants are ready for potting on. The next board is also Cosmos bipinnatus life cycle, and again is typified by a plant in a terracotta pot, some cut flowers, a lot of spent deadheads, and then a seed head. They can be grown in containers or direct in the garden. It's a superb cut flower. Regular deadheading encourages more blooms. Collect the seeds or allow to self-seed for next year. The next board is entitled Top Tips for Growing Peat Free and shows a 72-foot polytunnel absolutely full of peat-free Gone Cosmos. You are likely to have to change your watering regime, watering less but more often, as many peat-free recipes don't have the same water-retaining qualities as peat-based compost. The phrase peat-free tells you what you aren't getting, not what you are. One compost that works for your mature plants may not work so well for seed sowing, so experiment with what works for you. Question retailers about how they store compost. Peat-free compost left out in the rain can lead to all the proprietary feed leaching out, which can actually impact performance. The next board is also Top Tips for Growing Peat-Free and has a picture of some compost bags with a made-on date on, so you know when that compost was made. Consider buying peat-free compost with produced on dates. The performance of peat-free compost can change over time, so fresh compost may work quite differently from that a year old. Work out what feed your plants require. With a different watering regime, you will need to work out if your plants need more feed. This could mean more slow-release fertiliser, or even better, making your own homegrown feed out of plants like nettles and comfrey. Consult the RHS Peat-Free Hub, which hosts a whole host of advice on how to grow successfully without peat, including a case study we provided on the growing of Cosmos. The next board is the History of Cosmos bipinnatus and has an image of Curtis's Botanical Magazine from 1813. Cosmos in its annual form is native to Mexico and is often known as the Mexican aster. It wasn't collected until the late 1700s, and the flower made its way to England in 1789 thanks to the Marchioness of Bute, wife of the English ambassador to Spain. Cosmos are now a firm favourite in British gardens with their fern-like foliage, but they don't just come in shades of pink. There are many named cultivars and selections available, doubles, forms with tubular rays, anemone middles, and recently introduced yellows and even apricot. The next board is entitled The Importance of Cultivars and has an image of a cosmos with a bumblebee enjoying it. The Biosecurity Strategy for Great Britain 2023 to 2028 highlighted the need to find out more about the importance of cultivars in terms of building robust landscapes in the light of climate change. Cultivars of plants like Cosmos bipinnatus are fairly drought tolerant, can grow on poor soil and high in nectar content. They attract a broad range of short-tongued bumblebees, hoverflies, butterflies, and also birds who harvest the seed heads. The next board is entitled Cosmos bipinnatus Combating Climate Change and has a picture of a Frisian cow staring outwards. Did you know that Cosmos bipinnatus plants may help combat one of the greenhouse gases that contribute to climate change? Recent research has indicated adding Cosmos bipinnatus plants to the feed of dairy cows may reduce burping, thereby reducing their methane output by around 16%. And then our final board has a picture of a globe in a hand. With one side, the globe is burnt out and the tree's dying, and the other side is the globe's looking healthy with a green tree. It's entitled Plant Perfection Cannot Cost the Earth. How we grow our plants has to be as important as the end results we get. As former Environment Minister Lord Goldsmith said to me when he was speaking to me about sustainable growing, the idea that the perfect flower, no matter what the cost to the environment or to our health, I think is probably in its twilight years. So hopefully those educational boards give you a flavour of not only the history of cosmos, how you can grow cosmos, but also how you can possibly grow in a more sustainable way.